Hey everybody, how are you doing today? This is Mark Ashton coming at you on March 10th, where we have finally gotten into the book of Joshua. Like, this is hallelujah moment for us, isn't it? We've gone through 5 books of the Pentateuch, and it's been a blast to read all about Moses and all the things he's written in the 40 years in the wilderness. But at some point you just say, I'm glad that era is done, and we can get into the next era. I mean, Moses is fun, but we've had enough of Moses, and now it's time to press on and talk about Joshua. Now, we're doing Joshua 1 through 5 today, and I've got over my left shoulder here, this is like my ESPN commentary. You know how they have the little thing that clicks up the screen for all the stuff you're going to talk about? Well, this is all the stuff we're going to talk about today with Joshua chapter 1 through 5. And by the way, if you're interested, we've done a sermon series on the first 5 books of Joshua. There's 5 parts to that series. And you can look that up on our media page at cccomaha.org if you want more detail on that. But here's what we're going to be talking about. First of all, Joshua. Joshua gets chosen by God. You notice that he wasn't chosen by Moses. He wasn't chosen by the people of Israel. They didn't hold an election and say, hey, who should our next leader be? It was Joshua chosen by God. It goes all the way back to Numbers 13, when Joshua and Caleb were the 2 spies out of 12 who said, hey, let's go, and we can take this land. Joshua had the right kind of DNA and faith commitment that he believed God when everybody else said no. So God chooses him at that point to be Moses' apprentice. Now he's been through a 40-year apprenticeship. 40 years, that should be plenty of time for him to be able to learn the job. And he's had that apprenticeship with Moses at this point. And he should be well ready for what God has for him. But you imagine what it would be like for Joshua to take over the nation of Israel from Moses. I mean, you've got this massive, iconic leader who's been doing it for 40 years. Taking over Israel from Moses would be like taking over the Notre Dame football team after Lou Holtz coached it. I mean, who wants that job? But Moses takes it. And when he goes in, he hears from God. In the very first part of chapter 1, this classic verse that I think everybody should memorize, where God says, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, Joshua knows he's going to be facing giants in the land. He's going to be headed into this land that's flowing with milk and honey, but it's got large and fortified cities. It's got big old armies, and he's going to have to do some things that are very courageous and, to be honest, kind of crazy. But God says to him, be strong and courageous. Why? Well, 3 reasons are outlined. Number 1 is, I will be with you. And actually, that's the whole determining factor. I mean, if God's with you, who cares what kind of giants you're facing? Who cares what kind of cities you're opposed to? Second thing is, he's got the book of the law now. He's got the 5 books of Moses, and he says, God says to him, meditate on these day and night. Never let these depart from your mouth. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn from to the left. Just follow my word. And in doing that, Moses will thrive in his new existence. And the third thing that he's got is he's got God's promises. Promises that go all the way back to Abraham. You remember these. He said to Abraham, God said to Abraham, I'm about to give you every piece of land where you will set your foot. That's the promised land. From the desert in the south to Lebanon in the north, from the Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean in the west. The promise, the ancient promise, belongs to you. And Joshua is going to be the one who crosses the Jordan River, goes into the land, and takes that promise. I wonder if in your life you may have some giants that you're facing these days, some fortified cities that you're trying to take. You know, you can claim the same promises that Joshua claimed, that God will be with you, you can count on God's word, and that you can count on God's promises to take you through. You know what else I think is notable from Joshua chapter 1? It's not just that Joshua had God with him. Joshua had the whole nation of Israel that was behind him. They were a finely tuned, faithful force. And the reason is they've been depending on God for 40 years with manna and quail, and they've been waiting for this moment. So when this moment comes, they say, Joshua, we'll follow you the same way we followed Moses. Only may God be with you the same way that he was with Moses. We'll obey you no matter what you say. And then here's the radical part. If anybody disobeys you, Joshua, we'll kill him. We'll kill him. Now that is radical faithfulness. That is teamwork. And when you have somebody who is an anointed leader of God and a team that follows him to that kind of a radical degree, this is an unstoppable force. And I think that this is perhaps the most unstoppable force that you see anywhere in the Bible. Joshua and his team taking the promised land. It's because of the radical devotion of the people behind them. Now, I want to make very clear, Christ Community Church, we're not into killing people who disobey the lead pastor. But there is something very powerful about folks who say, we want to work together as a team to accomplish goals. And when the team works together under anointed leadership, God gets an awful lot of glory and kingdom impact happens. Well, that's chapter one. In chapter two, we see this revolutionary story of a prostitute by the name of Rahab. She's a prostitute, but she's a prostitute who believes in God. And she responds in faith to the revelation that she does have. She doesn't know much, but she knows she wants to be on God's side. So she swings this deal with the people who come in. She says, I'll hide you Israelites so that you won't get beaten up by all of the people here in Jericho if you'll let me live when your army comes in and invades us. And they give her this very cool symbol. They give her a scarlet cord to hang out her window, so that when everyone in Israel sees that scarlet cord, they'll know we're not supposed to attack those people. Now, what do you think that scarlet cord would remind the Israelites of? I think it would remind them of the Passover, where they put the blood of the lamb, the scarlet blood of the lamb, on their doorposts, and the angel of death passed over and didn't kill the people in that house. Well, similarly with Rahab, the army would pass over that house that had the scarlet cord that was strung from it. And of course, thinking back, it reminds you of Rahab. Who does it remind you of thinking forward? Well, that would be Jesus. The Passover, the scarlet cord, it reminds us of Jesus and how his blood applied to our lives sets us free and makes us no longer captive to death and no longer bound for destruction, but instead for a resurrection. Later on in Hebrews chapter 11, when they record the hall of faith, all the faithful people from the Old Testament, you know who makes the list? Rahab, the Gentile prostitute, who responded in faith to the revelation that she had from God. It's a powerful story you don't want to miss, and that symbolism can be written down in the portion about four foreshadowings of Jesus in your journal. All right, on to Joshua 3, 4, and 5. Israel had to camp beside the Jordan River for 3 days before any specific orders were given to them by God. Humanly speaking, you can't imagine any way to get 2 million people across a river with all of their stuff, all their luggage, all their baggage, everything that they had been carrying with them from Egypt. You just can't get across the river. But they knew they were going to go across. So Joshua gives them some commands. He says, okay, you with the ark, you go first. Just step right on the river. Everybody else, stay back 1,000 yards. Why? So that you could see the ark, so that you could see God at work. If everybody crowded in, only a few people could see, but 1,000 yards away, everybody could see. And so they take this incredible step of faith, and those people who are carrying the ark step into the Jordan River, and what do you know? Just as they step in, the Jordan River parts right in front of them. And the people of Israel walk across on dry ground. Now, what does that remind you of? Of course, it reminds you of going through the Red Sea. And there's the pragmatic value of just being able to get across the Jordan River, but I think the spiritual value for the Israelites in this moment is far greater than the pragmatic value. Because now they're saying, wow, God really is with Joshua the same way that he was with Moses. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It wasn't just this magic guy Moses. God is now with Joshua too. And just like their parents told them that story of crossing over on dry ground, now they too get to cross over on dry ground. And they set up a cool memorial with stones that are stacked in the middle of the Jordan River. I wonder if those stones are still stacked there to this day, you know, because the Jordan River has been flowing as a memorial to God. It's cool how God sets up the people of Israel for success in this regard. You see, God wants people to remember him. He wants them to remember the great acts that he's done in the past. And I wonder if you do anything in your life. Maybe it's keeping a journal. Maybe there's some symbolic gesture that you have or some places you've set up, some pictures that you have in your house that remind you of God's goodness. Because it's critical for us to look back and remember God's goodness. Now, the final thing that I wanted, that's stepping out, The next thing I want to talk about is what happened at Gilgal. A what at Gilgal? So all the 2 million people, they cross over the Jordan River, they camp at Gilgal. What's the first thing they do? Joshua says, hey, let's do group circumcision. Isn't that fun? You know, hundreds of thousands of guys with flint knives in pain. I don't even want to imagine what the picture was like in those moments. And you go, why is that the first thing they do when they cross the river? Well, it's the first thing they did because they wanted to remember that they are the covenant people of God. They hadn't done circumcisions out in the wilderness, so every adult male and boy male got circumcised at that point. And in addition to remembering that, hey, we are now marked with the mark of God's people, in addition to that, they were in a place of total dependence. Because if an army would have swooped down on them at that point, there was no way that they could defend themselves in that kind of pain. And they remind themselves that we are the people of God. We're marked by God. We are totally dependent on God. Because in tomorrow's readings, God's going to ask them to do something crazy. And if they don't have that high element of faith, they're not going to obey God. And so God places them in this place of total dependence, marked by God. You know what's amazing about all this? Is that God is asking them to take risks. Risks to be strong and courageous. Risks to be faithful to Joshua. A risk to align with God rather than her town with Rahab. A risk to step out into the middle of the Jordan River. A risk to get circumcised at Gilgal when an army could come in and just wipe them out at that point. People of God are to be marked by risk-taking. And that's how you enter into the promised land and take new ground. So this is Mark Ashton encouraging you guys to take risks for God in your life today as you reflect on Joshua. Be strong and courageous because the Lord is with you.